for coming along. I'm very pleased to be joined this morning by Ana Gabriela Hernandez.
Hi.
We'll wave to Gabby. Awesome. From Microsoft. So between us, we're going to be talking a wee bit about System Center 2012 R2 and SP1 and some of the cool features, and then we're going to sort of meander through and look specifically at using System Center to monitor VMware environment. We're going to be talking about some things to watch for in your VMware environment, how we expose them inside System Center, and then how to use that data inside System Center to make good decisions. So predominantly, a lot of what I'm going to be doing is show and tell, because it's not all slides, I promise. What I'm going to be doing is show and telling is inside Ops Manager, but we'll have a wee bit of VMM weaved in there. We're going to have a wee bit of Orchestrator weaved in there as well. I actually did some Orchestrator demos at the tech end last year, and Orchestrator is just awesome. So I'm going to show you some cool stuff that I've done in there around managing the VMware environment using that automation tool, I think. So, let my animation go. So really, there's a couple of kind of key session objectives that I really want to be able to get across today. I want you for pulling your vSphere environment into System Center, I want to make sure that you're understanding what's coming from the VMware environment, coming into System Center so that you can make the right decisions in the VMware environment. Now, whether or not you make those remediation or fixes or whatever it might be through System Center is obviously one way of doing it, but I want to make sure that you understand the key metrics that are coming back from that VMware environment, what they mean, give you a rough idea of what's good and what's bad, and clearly that's kind of a, that's kind of a finger in the air depending upon the environment, but I do want to give you a little bit of insight into that. I also want to show you, sort of using that as a framework, some tips and tricks to get the best out of System Center. I've been working with System Center for quite a long time, actually, since the NetIQ days. Microsoft did the acquisition from NetIQ in, 99 or something?
Something.
I delivered the first MOM 2000 beta courses in Scotland. Who'd have thought anyone in Scotland would be interested in MOM 2000? So I've been sort of working with it for a wee while, and I've kind of seen it grow up. And for me, System Center 2012, particularly R2, is really the kind of next generation of that sort of potential to be that enterprise framework.
The sound is outside, they can't hear.
Okay, I shall try and shout. There are still a couple of seats inside the session, guys. If you can, sort of squeeze in, please. So I do want to talk about getting the best from System Center, and how we can sort of best leverage that, some tips and tricks for using Ops Manager as well, if you've not used it before. Share with you some of the things I like to do inside Ops Manager to make sense of the data that comes back from the environment that I manage. So my agenda is kind of very straightforward. What I want is to explore with you the options for doing monitoring of VMware inside System Center. This is more generally what some of your VMware monitoring options are. And then why use System Center to do that. And really, with my sort of five things you must know, I've got sort of little sets of five, basically. But if I was to boil it down into those five things you must know, I'd really sort of break it down into these things. So first of all, discovery of the environments, the key metrics that you need to understand, how to make best use of trending and analysis to make the right decisions about your VMware environment. Capacity planning is key for any environment, especially for a virtualized environment, so we're going to talk specifically about doing that for vSphere, using System Center as a framework, and then we'll tag on a wee bit at the end about automation, and I can show off my cool Orchestrator demos that I feel so proud of, and everyone's going to go that for in reality. But before we do all of that, I'd like to just dive in and have a wee chat about sort of why you use System Center. And for this, I'd like to introduce Gabby.
Thank
and have Gabby
you.
Talk about some of the features in System Center 2012.
Thanks, Charles. Hi, guys. So, first things. When we launched System Center 2012, we wanted to do some new investments in new areas that were, of course, new for us. And we wanted to continue to deliver on the areas that you were familiar with and that were working fine. We did this across three different pillars or areas that are fabric and workloads, DevOps, and experience. So the first one has been our core competency for a long time. You all know that. And we will continue with those investments, of course. We want to give you powerful insight of what's happening in your fabric environment and, of course, in your physical infrastructure. With the DevOps, this is not just about application monitoring. What we want to give you is a complete DevOps ecosystem when you can have a common language and common tools to share between your operations people and your developers as well. And in experience, it's all about having good visual experience. So it doesn't matter the role or the persona that is accessing the dashboards. The idea is that they can have access to the relevant information for them. This was 2012. Then, in SP1s, of course, continuing with that motion and with that momentum, we wanted to provide the same across those three different areas. We started to provide a virtual fabric monitoring, again, giving you easy access and powerful insight of everything that's going on in your fabric environment. We are supporting storage monitoring. This is to provide you with information for trends and capacity planning. We launched as well something that is really cool, that is called global service monitoring. So basically here is about monitoring your web applications from different points of presence around the world. It's like becoming something like the virtual user. So basically you can anticipate any failure and of course being proactive about that. And if you have this integration with Team Foundation Services as in here, you can actually push the alert to the developers team so they can take action in here. With this, we are surrounding that strategy about the DevOps ecosystem I mentioned before. Now we are in R2, of course. Our aim is to give you guys a powerful view. Doesn't matter where your application lives. What we want to give you is complete understanding. If it's in your public cloud space, if it's in the private cloud space, the idea is that you can see everything as a service. And of course, understand what's going on with the resources that are supporting that service. We took the learnings that we had from .NET application monitoring, something that we launched in System Center 2012, and we are incorporating that to the Java application monitoring here. We are with some investments as well and some improvements with the integration in Team Foundation Services, and with a complete view for the dashboards. Again, having your application view and understanding everything, how it's interconnected, the devices that are supporting it, and the resources that are supporting that application. Of course, giving you the best in class workload management. That's why we are here today, and we are going to continue providing that for you guys. So with that, I'm handing over again to Charles.
That's fantastic. Thanks, Gabby.
Okay, so let's sort of get into the vSphere Insight System Center and some of the things to look out for. One thing we do at the engineering team at Beam is we kind of ask ourselves, what's the best thing about the VMware monitoring that Beam provides? We have a management pack. I'm going to use that for some of the demos today. What's the best thing about it? And we all think, faster planning. We think, this dashboard or that dashboard, all the sort of stuff lights up. It's really cool. But really, the best thing about the VMware monitoring that Beam provides is the fact that it uses System Center as a framework. So beyond Operations Manager, the ability to snap System Center into Service Manager, for example, with asset tracking, really great capability in Service Manager SM, but also into other tools like Orchestrator as well, is really a key feature. So as I said, we're going to explore some of that as we sort of step through. So the first thing that I really want to touch on is, you've got VMware. I'm going to make a hazard a guess that based on the title, everybody in here has some sort of VMware, right? Show of hands. Yeah, everybody. Yeah.
Cool.
So you haven't quite sort of all rushed out and bought Hyper-V just yet.
Our customers haven't rushed out.
Your customers haven't. Okay, not yet. But maybe they will. So I just want to talk about some of the options that are available in terms of vSphere monitoring. And we'll maybe do a quick sort of show of hands as who's doing what. So the first option is what I call the do-nothing option. And it's what 99% of the VMware customers that I talk to are doing and actually looking to change. So in terms of monitoring stuff, just inside the vSphere client in your VMware environment, does anyone do that? Anyone's customers do that? Yeah, or everyone else has monitoring tools, that's awesome. In my experience, though, most people will simply do that because there are a couple of performance charts in there. There are a couple of reports that are in there. The key thing I would say about using vCenter as a monitoring tool is that, well, first of all, it's not a monitoring tool. I mean, that's really the key thing. It's a management tool. It's kind of like the juxtaposition of System Center Virtual Machine Manager, a cool management tool that actually will manage VMware workloads as well. I'll show you that in a minute. And System Center Operations Manager. They do different things. And sure, they bleed together just a wee bit, but really they're built for different things. Actually, in the case of vCenter, using vCenter as your monitoring tool actually has more implications than you might think. Because the heavier your vCenter is, the more data that your vCenter has to churn through to be able to write the reports for you once a week, or to be able to forward alerts and store all that data for, you know, 6 months, a year, whatever it might be, so that the heavier essentially the load is against the vCenter database, actually the more impact that can have on other operations that you're trying to do inside vCenter. So for example, if I'm trying to, you know, get a guest interaction ticket to go in and talk to a virtual machine to quiesce it, for example, before I do a snapshot, if my vCenter is busy figuring out alerts and reports and chundering through all that sort of stuff, then the delivery of that ticket can take longer. The quiescence of the virtual machine can take longer. Now, as a software vendor that builds a snapshot-based backup solution for both VMware and Hyper-V, man, I've seen all sorts of horror stories that were fixed by speccing vCenter better and by turning off all the monitoring and reporting and all the other crap that vCenter has to deal with. So I do call this the do-nothing option. It is a limited option, and it you know, can provide some limited insight. Another common vSphere monitoring approach is to stick an agent inside the virtual machines that are running on the vSphere platform. So if you're using System Center Operations Manager today, likely this is what you're doing, right? So you've got your Exchange and SQL and all those VMs running on VMware, and what do? You deploy in the SCOM agent, and you deploy the appropriate management packs, and you get visibility back from that VM, right? Now that's fine as far as it goes, but essentially, the monitoring inside that virtual machine is kind of on rails, it's blinkered really. Because what that virtual machine isn't aware of is anything that's happening around it and all the sharing that has to happen. For example, sharing pages of memory, you know, sharing CPU resources and inside a resource pool, vMotions, all that sort of stuff, all of that's invisible to the VM. That's the whole point of virtualization, right? So having an agent inside the VM is cool in terms of getting visibility into an application and application errors. But sort of looking at it in isolation from the underlying infrastructure, you know, virtualized or not even, is quite limited. You'll see what I mean when you come to the demos. vSphere does allow for SNMP monitoring. Does anyone use SNMP to monitor the vSphere environment? It's like always one, right? There's always one or two. I'm kind of an SNMP fan from old. I'm sort of trying my best to kind of forget it, I guess. But you can. I mean, if you like hacking around inside MIBS and like doing translation of, you know, this OI equals this error, all that sort of stuff, then cool. You know, you can do it, and you can get some limited visibility actually inside Ops Manager from SNMP back from the VMware environment. Not terribly rich, though. And actually, all three of these approaches, and actually the fourth approach I'm going to talk about in a second as well, don't include a health model for the VMware environment. So there's no sort of, you know, simply saying, this happened! But it's not saying, well, this happened in the context of anything else and whether or not that's good. Syslog. Does anyone use Syslog for monitoring in VMware? One. Yeah. So Syslog is an interesting beast of VMware. It's very detailed. It is incredibly verbose. So if you start a virtual machine, like power on in vSphere, and you have syslogging enabled, can anyone guess how many events that generates inside Syslog? 10? Any for 10? Any for 20? Shall I keep going up? Yeah. Depending on the VM, it's about 40 or 50, right? Events in Syslog for powering on a VM. Good lord. So if you're into writing parsers for Syslog, or you know, maybe you have a parser for Syslog for those events, then again, that information can come back. It is very detailed, but for most, I almost said normal people there, for most mere mortals like me, you know, trawling through those kind of events or writing a parser for Syslog is, I mean, frankly, A, I'm not clever enough, and B, I just couldn't be bothered, for goodness sake. So, you know, again, kind of limited. So by far, the best way to get monitoring information from the vSphere environment is number 5, which is to use the vSphere APIs. So this is through the web service SDK, and essentially all the sort of monitoring solutions that you'll see out there in the marketplace today. So that may include VMM, although it's a management, not a monitoring solution. It includes the tools that Veeam provide. You know, there are other vendors as well that provide third-party VMware monitoring tools. All use that, keep that ability. It's safe, it's scalable. Usually the way that the vSphere environment gets interrogated is over port ports over SSL, it's over 443, which makes it kind of easy from a firewalling perspective. If the query is being deprecated through vCenter, then actually the authentication is usually handled by Active Directory as well. In fact, at VMworld last week, VMware just announced SSO version 2, so they've kind of brushed up on that, so it's a bit crappy beforehand. So that sort of authentication method to get the data back from the Web Service API is easily the best way to do it. And at Veeam, with the management pack that we do for System Center Operations Manager, that's the mechanism we use. Now, we can pull information from syslog as well, but the load that that puts on the SCOM database when we're pulling that data into SCOM is, you know, such that really it's for very special use cases. So generally, the only way that we'll get information back from the VMware environment is over the API. We'll also use SimXML. We're kind of getting into the weeds a little bit to query the hardware, but generally it's over the web API. So to kind of summarize, I mean, I think we've kind of, you know, covered most of this already. I mean, why System Center 2012 for VMware? Because, I mean, certainly the sort of common thinking is, what's VMware? Should you use VMware tools, right? And Microsoft, you use Microsoft tools. But of course, that, you know, you end up with islands and challenges in terms of management. I sort of wanted to keep with my theme of 5. I kind of wanted to list my top 5 things that reasons why I would choose System Center to do VMware management. The private cloud and service deployment stuff inside Virtual Machine Manager. Has anybody done this? Anybody created a service that contained VMware VMs and Hyper-V VMs and Citrix VMs perhaps? Maybe? No? So this is pretty cool capability. What it essentially lets me do is say, okay, I'm going to build a web server or a web service for argument's sake. And I'm going to have a web server over here in VMware, and I'm going to have a SQL server here in VMware, and I'm going to have a SQL server here on Hyper-V, and I'm going to have some sort of back-end, front-end thing, I don't know, over here on Citrix, and I'm going to group them together, and if I need to deploy that for a customer, for example, in a hybrid cloud scenario, I just press the button and it goes, it may or may not make that actual noise, but it sort of goes, and sort of deploys all those virtual machines for you. So that sort of concept of, you know, forgetting about what the hypervisor is, essentially, and simply, and so, you know, treating the hypervisor as a commodity, as a platform, simply, is something that VMM really unlocks for us. VMware is widely deployed. It is. I mean, the, you know, we can sort of quibble about the market share numbers, but you guys are all in here, right? You've all got VMware. So it is widely deployed. System Center also provides end-to-end monitoring for both the VMware and for the Microsoft workloads. And I'll show you this when we come into the demos. Really, the whole sort of idea behind Ops Manager is that we get deep understanding of the applications that are running inside those Microsoft workloads. And that's why we bought Ops Manager, probably, right? Because I wanted to monitor Exchange. And who understands Exchange? Yeah, Microsoft did, because they wrote it, right? So getting that deep application understanding and pulling that in is important. Heterogeneous hypervisor management and automation across VMware, across Hyper-V, and across Citrix as well. And of course, as I've sort of highlighted, I mean, if you're going to monitor Microsoft workloads, you're going to use a Microsoft tool to do it. So it makes sense. So a wee bit of level setting here, just to be absolutely sure that we all kind of understand what we're talking about. So this is kind of what System Center Operations Manager looks like, right? We've got the stuff that we need to monitor down at the bottom here. We've got a database layer, actually, two databases typically, logically, with Ops Manager. We have the data warehouse that stores data for about 400 days. I say about 400, that's a pretty exact number. It's 400 days out of the box, you can change it. An Ops Manager database that stores kind of alerting and performance data for 7 days. It then normalizes that data, filters it down into the data warehouse to give you long-term analysis. An an application layer that essentially manages that process and is responsible for collecting that information from the different things that you want to monitor down at the bottom here. And then the key thing, and actually for me really the key thing, is the presentation layer. I mean, I could have the world's greatest monitoring system, but unless I can actually look at it and figure out what the heck's going on, or unless I can actually route the emails to the right guy at the right time, it's going to be useless to me. So as we kind of break that up into System Center, it sort of looks a bit like this. We've got those two databases, the management servers and the ops manager agents, the monitoring console, notifications, and reporting. So the key thing that sort of overlays those top two layers are management packs. You guys know what a management pack is, right? It's basically Keanu saying, I know Kung Fu. Management packs essentially are an instant injection of intelligence into Ops Manager. Ops Manager is a big dummy on its own. It doesn't know anything. You have to tell it what it knows. And so giving it Kung Fu is the easiest way to do that. So this is the Exchange Management Pack. Active Directory, you know, management packs are good for anything, third party, like Green Management Pack as well. Okay, so let's look at five key concepts for monitoring vSphere and, say, System Center specifically then. Key concept number one, and this is critical, you need a map. Now, Veeam, we're sort of famous for our backup software, you know, we do this Veeam backup and replication thing, pretty cool. And one of the sort of interesting conversations that I always have with customers when they have an outage, and they're like, oh man, Veeam came in and saved the day. I hear that quite a bit, right? Veeam came in and saved the day. And it's like, well, you know, how did you do that? Well, we had reports. We had a map of what the virtual environment looked like. So when it all got destroyed by that asteroid, we were able to rebuild it based on the picture that we already have of it. So having a map that understands the relationship and the dependencies between the different components in the virtual environment and is dynamically updated in the way that your virtual environment dynamically updates is really important when you're trying to figure out what's caused what. You know, this VM moved from there to there, and now, boom, you know, memory's blown out on that host. So understanding and being able to see that sort of logically and graphically is really pretty important. So we can tie that together with monitors inside Ops Manager as well. So we can look at things like availability monitors and state monitors to give me state from a performance view and from a sort of up-down perspective. And if we can graph that onto the map so I can see at a glance what's healthy, what's not performing, what's switched off, what's switched on, that's pretty useful capability. Let's have a wee look at it. Yay! Okay, so I'm going to imagine for a second that the demo gods are going to be kind to me here. So I'm actually connected back into our lab in our data center in Alexandria. Our data center in Alexandria, it seems so grand. We have like a rack in a data center in Alexandria. Airbeam data center, oh yes. And there's a couple of things I wanted to show you here. So for those who have never seen it, right, this is the Ops Manager console. Ta-da. You know, it's kind of gone through that whole Microsoft user experience thing, you know, it looks, everything looks like Outlook now, right? So we've sort of gone, you know, we've mapped for that. So on the left-hand side here, you can see all the management packs that I've imported. So there's the management pack for Hyper-V. There's the management pack for the stuff that my team use out of Sydney. And here's the management pack that we've imported for VMware. So there's a whole bunch of views and all that sort of stuff that are in there. I'm not going to kind of, you know, I'm not going to run through it like a sales pitch. I'm going to show you actual stuff. So the first thing that I want to do is kind of show you one of those maps that I was talking about. So this is a map that's dynamically generated and essentially draws out my VMware environment for you. So you can see that I've got two vCenter servers, VTC02 and SUP VTC01. This is actually the vCenter server that our support team use. So if you ever phone Veeam support and they say, I'm just going to be trying stuff out, this is where they try it out. Isn't that cool? I'm sort of opening the kimono today all the way. It's awesome. So that's probably not an image you need just before lunch. So inside this map, you can see that we've color-coded everything for health. So here I'm looking inside the cluster. I'm looking down, and I can see the different resource pools. And then I can drill into the resource pools and identify where issues are. Now, one of my favorite features inside SCOM 2012, just because I use it so darn often, is the ability to do what's called problem path resolution. So I might have a look at this resource pool and I want to know, just show me everything that's wrong inside that resource pool. So I can just click this wee button there and it will show me all the sort of error states. We've sort of zoomed out a wee bit there, but show me all the VMs that are in error state inside that resource pool. That's pretty cool. Now, of course, if I need to see that sort of summarized in a single page with what it is that actually put it into the error state, then I can use traditional SCOM tools like Health Explorer and come in and actually get a list of stuff I need to fix to make this red thing go away. So I can come in here and sort of identify that from there. So you can see that I'm with this virtual machine here, AU Replica Demo 1. You can see that we've got an uptime monitor issue. So that's telling me that it's been, that the VM's been switched on and off, and I can even actually see, you know, on based on time, sort of how often that state change has happened, which you know, tells me it's up or down. We can also see performance objects inside there. So for example, inside this resource pool, you can see that I've got a disk space analysis issue with this particular virtual machine here. And we can see that it's, you know, based around our 3 megabyte has fallen below a particular threshold. So that's pretty cool, right? I mean, I can see that for resource pools and hosts and clusters. I can actually see objects that are in the host as well. Oh, let me just zoom in a wee bit there, turn that off. So for example, if I need to be able to identify, so that, you know, there's a host that's inside that cluster. You know, if I need to be able to identify a component, for example, in the host that's in an error condition, I can do that as well. So even down to hardware. So if I want to be able to, you know, if I actually everything's healthy with my hardware, which is great. So we're pulling this actually up through SimXML directly from the hardware itself, which is a really efficient way of doing it. Sort of vSphere has another way of doing it that's less up to date and actually a bit more traffic heavy, so we did it through SimXML. But you see I'm getting temperature and fan speeds and all that sort of stuff. I guess the point that I'm trying to make here though is that, you know, something like this shows me that sort of interconnectedness. So I can have a look in this resource pool and I can see all the VMs that are inside that resource pool. So if one VM's having an issue, I can come to this and say, well, that VM seems to be having an issue, you know, maybe Exchange is complaining, right? But I can have a look at all the VMs inside that context, maybe even on that host, and then use a tool like Health Explorer, or even just here to at a glance say, well, you know, server 2 is in a warning condition, but I can see that these two bad boys are both red. So maybe I want to investigate why they're red, because they're sharing the same resource as that VM is. So I don't need my monitoring to be in a silo, isolated. So at a compute layer, that's pretty cool. I mean, what the sort of one of the most common sort of troubleshooting scenarios that we encounter is related to storage. So wouldn't it be really cool if I could see a map of all my data stores and then the VMs related to the data stores based on health? Yes, Charles, that would be cool.
We love you.
Steady. But I can do that here as well. So now, for example, I can see that my data store is in an error condition. I can see the VMs that are inside that data store. Now, it may be that one of those VMs is in an error condition and the health state is rolling up to the data store object. Yeah, there you go. Sweet. But it could be actually something else that relates to that data store. So I could even from here, you know, for example, just open up an alert view and then figure out what it is, you know, inside that data store that seems to have triggered that error condition. Oh, no alerts, okay. So that's an old, looks like an old error to me, because the alerts age out after 7 days from the Ops Manager database. Or it could just be an out-of-date health state. Right, cool. That's kind of the idea. You know, the idea is that I see that context. I see it all in one place. I see it red, I see it green, and I can make decisions about it from there. So having that sort of mapping tool is vital, I think, to be able to bring it together, to give you the vital context that you need to be able to do troubleshooting. And the other thing that the second point that I want to make, and the key thing that I really think is key to understand, is being able to get good visualization of the virtual environment. Now, having a wee look at those maps, you're sort of maybe looking at it and thinking, ooh, that'd be interesting. run that environment, my environment, sort of see how it all maps out. That's pretty cool. But so being able to get that visualization so you can figure out what's hot and what's not is really key. So I just want to talk about a couple of dashboards and reports and sort of how that context comes back to you and how you can use that. So I want to use a couple of key metrics just as an example here. And these are just tips and tricks that sort of we picked up and, Veeam's best practice and VMware's best practice, some things to look out for. So when we relate to CPU utilization, it's kind of common sense. If we're looking at it at a host level, keep CPU utilization under 90%. I mean, it seems to me to be sort of common sense. But really, CPU utilization is kind of an interesting beast in the VMware environment. Because looking at CPU utilization on its own really sort of doesn't give you the whole picture. There's a couple of other key metrics that you need to be aware of. We'll talk about more about them when we talk about sharing as well. But a couple of key metrics I've just highlighted here are CPU ready and CPU post-op. Imagine, let me explain what these are basically, as basically as I can. Imagine that I've got two processors, right, in a server, physical server, and it's a VMware server. And those two processors, let's just keep it simple, let's just say they've got one core each, right? So I've got two processing cores effectively. Like it's like the worst server ever, right? But I've got two processing cores effectively. If I'm running two virtual machines that have one CPU each on those CPU cores, then they'll be balanced between the two. Sweet. Easy, right? It's gonna make sense. But if I allocate more virtual CPUs to those virtual machines, VMware has a tendency not to balance the vCPUs for a single VM across multiple processing cores, right? It tends to load them on a single processing core. So what basically happens then is if I've got two CPUs with a single core each and then I'm loading up vCPUs on top of those, then what will happen is that the CPU with the VM with one CPU will use one physical CPU or one core and one physical CPU. But the VM with multiple vCPUs actually queues, waiting for the core, the processing core, and the second physical CPU, right? We'll talk a bit more about this later on, but what it basically means is that those threads that are being scheduled through those vCPUs have to wait, right? So that wait time, and the amount of waiting that has to be done, the number of times it has to wait and the wait time are two sort of different, subtly different metrics, are reflected in CPU ready and CPU post-op. So we want to keep those low. Sub 50% is kind of what the general recommendation is. I mean, generally speaking, with post-op, personally, I'd want to keep that under 3%. In my environment, if I saw a CPU post-op above 3%, what that would tell me is that that virtual machine probably has too many vCPUs, and all those vCPUs are all trying to be scheduled, because VMware is going to say, yes, we'll give all those vCPUs a wee shot at the processor. They're all going to try and be scheduled, and they're having to wait to be scheduled. So it's kind of a truism that people say, oh, I can just give that 12 CPUs, I can just go nuts because I've got all these processing cores on my ESX cores. But actually, all you're going to do is slow down that VM and the other VMs as well. So an interesting tip there. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We also want to relate the host usage to the VM usage so we can figure out, with cool features like DRS and vMotion and stuff, which host is using which VM. When we look at memory, a couple of general guidelines here. I mean, clearly keeping memory used below 90% is kind of a key one. A pretty obvious recommendation to make. Memory ballooning is kind of an interesting one. VMware has the concept where if a VM can't get memory, it's sort of, what VMware will do is blow up a little balloon of memory that it can use, and then sort of rush that at some point. But as that gets bigger, we've got a rougher guideline here at 50%, then what it can do is start swapping into the disk, right? Which is paging, which is awful, slow. So we want to keep the paging and the swapping of memory, as that sort of swap file utilization, down to zero as best we can, and keep memory ballooning as much as possible can as well. Storage space, yeah, this is an interesting one, because we start looking at things like thin provisioning. It's awesome, let's thin provision everything. But it kind of is actually a factor. Disk pressure becomes a factor. So disk pressure is what I sort of conceptualize as the difference between my dreams and reality, right? I can give everything, 100 gigs of disk space. Doesn't matter. Actually, 100 gigs isn't that much. A terabyte of disk space, right? 100, it doesn't matter, right? But you know, I know sort of safe in my own heart that it's only going to use 100 gigs, right? So it's the difference between that, what the VM thinks it has and what it's actually using. But it can actually cause issues, because if the VMs do actually start chewing up that disk space, the amount of disk available on the data store, so the free space on the data store can drop. And if it gets lower than 100 meg, your VM starts saying bye and crashing. Now we've seen this, right? We actually we deployed an update for an application, not a Veeam application, a third-party application. And what it did is, unbeknownst to us, because we weren't paying attention basically, is it created log files. And it just had been sitting there creating log files like every 10 minutes for a month. And so the VM had just been eating disk space, and we didn't even know until VM started shutting down. And then it was like, oh my god! And then we thought, wait a minute, we're a backup, we're a replication company. Why don't we just recover the VM? So that's what we did, right? It was all fine. But, it's worth being aware of that. So anything else that can eat disk space as well is worth knowing about. So things like garbage and unknown files is a really cool one. Everyone's got their data stores, right? And everyone can hand on heart say that on their data stores are VMDKs that relate to virtual machines, right? There's no orphan VMDKs on there. No ISOs on there. Your MP3 collection's not on there. So being able to identify those so you can clean them up, that's a pretty good idea. The other key thing to point out is to track snapshots. Honestly, when I was thinking about the topic for this, I was just going to make this an hour-long rant about snapshots. I could easily do that. Come down to the booth, I'll rant at you about snapshots. I working for a snapshot-based backup vendor, I have a lot of experience with snapshots and the pain and heartache the snapshots bring to families all across Australia. Right? It's a nightmare. So being aware of virtual machines that have snapshots, particularly unmanaged snapshots, so the snapshot that somebody created and then left, and then they left or went on holiday for 2 weeks, and everyone's too afraid to delete that snapshot, and it sits there for 2 weeks, and then you think, somebody brave finally comes in and says, there's my snapshot, I'm just going to delete it, and then of course it kills the host, because it's the IOPS and the host suddenly blow out because it's trying to commit, terabytes worth of changes. So keeping on top of snapshots and trying to get rid of snapshots, generally unmanaged snapshots, is generally a good idea.
Just curious, can it track snapshots that aren't managed by VMware? I'm guessing you've had instances where you check the management, there's no snapshot on the VM, but if you check the disk, it's VMDK 0001,
yes,
or 500, depending on how
yes.
bad your backup software is.
Yeah. So the question was, what if I've got snapshots that sort of don't appear inside the vSphere client, and essentially I don't know about, but they do still exist on disk. So maybe I created a snapshot and then I had had some sort of outage or blew away. I don't know, somebody had forgot about it. Can we find those? Yes, is the answer to those. The answer to that. But essentially, the way that we do it is that we will scan the disk and we'll look for VMDKs that aren't associated with virtual machines. So if there's a VMDK that has the 000, looks like a snapshot, we'll show you that up in a report. Now, we don't automatically remediate that for you. We wouldn't automatically just delete that disk. That would be a manual task or automated through Orchestrator or something like that. But yeah, we can find those for you. Absolutely. Grant. Also, latency. IOPS is a key thing with any VMware environment. Things can slow down the VMware environment. Anything that still relates to snapshots, all ties together. Then identifying IOPS is key as well. So trying to keep the latency for the actual VMware kernel down to zero is always a good goal. And then keeping storage latency under 20 milliseconds is generally a good goal. I hear people talk about different things here. I hear people say 4, and I hear people say 25. So I just pick 20. It's a fairly sort of arbitrary number, but it's somewhere in that sort of range. All right, let's have a wee look at a couple of these things just very quickly. And sort of identify kind of what that looks like inside the Ops Manager console. So here's my Ops Manager console. Ta-da. Sweet. So I mean there's a couple of sort of visualizations that I guess I just want to sort of introduce for you. I mean, we were talking about you know, CPU ready and CPU cold stop. Now these actually are metrics that relate to virtual machines. So one of the cool things that we've been able to do is essentially take those metrics ready and cold stop and roll them up for the virtual machines that live on those hosts. Because it may be that, you know, one VM has a high CPU ready, but it's just that, you know, it's that VM for whatever reason. So I may want to see that across all my hosts. So one of the things that we do here with this little dashboard is we will sort of bundle up those metrics for you and show you that here, for example, you know, my CPU ready on that top host there is only 0.60%, 0.50%, so nothing specifically really that I need to be worried about. And there's a whole bunch of dashboards that relate to those other metrics that we were talking about. A really good one that's that actually I use all the time, is memory pressure. So this is a bit like disk pressure, you know, what's allocated compared to what's used. So this is a value that can be over 100%. But when we are running from our demo lab and from the support labs at Veeam out of our data center in Alexandria, then actually we, you know, I use this a lot because it'll tell me if something seems slow, memory pressure is usually the first place I'll look, right? And that'll be up over 100%, 120%. And then I have to start looking at how I can shave memory out. So like putting a cap on simple is a good way of doing that. It's a good tip. Now, I can then drill in and look at individual sort of specific metrics, but there's one cool one that I want to share with you that I like. So basically, you know, what I want to be able to do is you know, I was talking about snapshots and the horror of snapshots in VMware. And curiously, if you want to have a chat with me about Hyper-V snapshots and why Hyper-V snapshots are better, or maybe you have a different view, then please come down and talk to me on the booth. I'm renowned for my views on that one. I do think they are better. But this is kind of a cool little performance view that I've created. And essentially what I've done here is I've created a dynamic group inside SCOM, which is one of the great features. It's a group based on a SQL query. And I'm looking at the virtual machines that relate to what my team do. And I want to be able to look at a performance view here, and I want to, you know, see the snapshot age for those virtual machines. Because I want to know if there's a snapshot that I don't know about, because I want to go and, you know, get around it, basically. Now, I've left this one running artificially long, right, so that I get my nice aqua line up there. But you can see all the virtual machines here, and I can drill down and sort of, you know, do a bit of color matching. Now, I've exposed this as a performance view, but we actually exposed that as a report as well, so you can dump it out into Excel. So I can see that this one here, DS104, is the highlighted one. I can see that the snapshot has now been living for, oh, I don't know, was that something like 41 hours, 42 hours, something along those lines. So that's probably not natural for my environment, 42-hour long snapshot. Holy crap, that's a long time to hold a snapshot open for any piece of software, for any admin. So what I probably want to do now is go and have a chat with the owner of DS Linux 04 about the perils of snapshots. So that guy is basically going to be locked in a room with me for about 2 hours. He's see if the bugger wants to create snapshots after that, right? So the ability to sort of identify that is pretty valid and pretty valuable. Now, another way to kind of visualize the environment, and again, it relates to storage because, where am I looking here? I can't talk and scroll at the same time, apologies, but it relates to storage, is you know, the ability to kind of pull a nice kind of heat map of what my storage looks like. So, for example, I could take a wee look here at my data stores, you know, so here's my sort of health state for my data stores, some inventory information from my VMware data stores sort of listed here. So I could take one of these data stores. Ooh, I don't know. Let's pick this one. So I can see, you know, that's cool information about it. It's a VMFS3 data store, you know, disk size, all that sort of stuff. And from the task pane, we actually get context-sensitive information that relates to that data store. So I can come to here, and for example, I may want to look at the data store space usage heat map for that data store, or performance usage heat map for that data store. So remember I was talking about how you want to keep free space on data stores like below 100 megs at all times, or else you know, you get the full horseman of the apocalypse riding across your data, your cluster. So this is quite a good way of doing it. So I can have a wee look just at that particular data store or at all my data stores,
again, I'm just using native ops manager reporting here, and I might just look, you know, from last Monday up to today, what was the rate of growth for the virtual machines that lived on that data store? And if the demo gods are with me, we shall get the rolling green ball of magic.
They have lots of data.
And, you know, in hindsight, I probably shouldn't have included all VMware data stores. This is going to be like a mother of all reports. And here we go. Alrighty, so I can have a look at this particular data store. I actually did all data stores here. And so what this is giving me is a nice kind of heat map. I can look at this and I can sort of tell what's going on, right? So basically, the size of the block relates to the size of the virtual machine. So who's my biggest virtual machine? Well, number one, which is this EU backup 01 server. Well, that's where my backups go to. That kind of makes sense. But the other thing that's interesting for me in here is actually the color of the block. So I want to know who my fastest growing virtual machines are. And the darkness of the green, and actually we do change them to red as well if they're growing above us that the 10 gigs a day growth threshold. So the darkness of the green actually gives me that indication. So I can have a look at VM number one here, which is backup 01, and relative to the other virtual machines on the same data store, it's actually growing fairly quickly. Now the growth rate is actually pretty small. You can see it's only been 340 megs over the reporting interval. So 340 megs in a week. I don't really care about that. But if that was red, you know, it may be an indication that the growth of the data store is aggressive and fast. And I may, you know, it may be something that I want to manage. It may be something that I expect. But I'd rather know about it than not know about it, right? If something is eating my data store, tell me. If it's meant to eat the data store, bon appetit. If it's not, then I need to take a remediation action about that. Let me see if I've got a red one here. Let me just drill into here. I know I've got all sorts of broken stuff inside here just for you guys. Honestly. Just deliberate, really. And then we'll see if we've got a red one here. Yeah, there we go, sweet. Okay, yeah, now this is an interesting one, right? Now, in the course of the last week, now the biggest virtual machine there is this one here, so that's fine, but look at number one. The growth rate, that's been 11%. So over that reporting interval, which was just from Monday of last week, that's at about a 20 gig growth. So relative to the other VMs, that's pretty aggressive. Now I know that that's actually one of our new backup servers for our new backup product that we just launched last week. That's the only plug I'm going to do for it, right? But if you come to the session, we're doing the session at 3 o'clock tomorrow, but that's the second plug I'm going to do for it. But you can see that that's growing aggressively. So again, that's something I probably want to be aware of.
With the growth,
Initially, yes, it will, and then over the reporting period, it will calm down. Now, if I don't want it to show up as red, then I can simply adjust the reporting period or include it or exclude it from the report so that it doesn't show up. But yeah, I would expect it if you deploy a brand new server and then you're installing a whole bunch of stuff on top of it. For example, if you're using VMM, the service templates to deploy SQL and IIS, which is actually really well done, even on VMware environments and VMM, I love that actually. Then yeah, I'd see the growth of that as being red. But then it also depends upon what the VMs are doing on that data store. If they're not, if they're growing aggressively as well, if it's a dynamic growing environment, then maybe it'll balance out. So it's all about relativity. And I guess the point that I'm trying to make here is that, you know, it's cool to see, ooh, it's red, that's great. But what's really important is the context. I don't care if it's red. What does it look like compared to the rest? And why is it different? You know, should it be different? That's what I want to know. And so that's what we're highlighting here. All right, let's crack on. That's sort of, you know, visualization stuff's kind of cool. So just a couple of words on commitments here. People used to say I have commitment issues, but just talking about resource sharing and overcommitment, so just a couple of things to look out for here. And I guess the one I want to talk about is CPU pressure. Now, we expose that as a performance metric inside SCOM, so I can track CPU pressure. This is actually an incredibly useful metric. And it's, remember I was talking about latency, I was talking about CPU ready, co-stop, that sort of stuff earlier on? If I could boil those all together and give me one meaningful statistic that said good or bad,
then CPU pressure would be it. So I'd use this as a measure for how well my CPU performance was against my VMware environment. There's a few factors that take part in this. It's the number of VMs, vCPUs per host core. Now, as I mentioned earlier on, a high ratio actually can impact the scheduler. So as I said, there's a tendency to say, hey, well, it's, you know, if you've got 24 cores available, the host is really quiet, let's just give that VM 24 cores, right? Or I look at the sort of recommendations that were made in the, you know, best practices guide from, you know, the vendor, whoever it may be, and I just give it that number of cores. But actually, that can impact the performance of the virtual machine. And I challenge you, actually, to go back to your VMware environment and have a wee look at the performance of the VMs that you've given 8 vCPUs to, right? See if they're using those 8 vCPUs, trim that back, and then see if it's faster, right? See if you've got less latency against the CPUs. It's a really interesting experiment, and I almost guarantee that you'll see, this is what I'm not saying it in blood, but I almost guarantee you you'll see a performance increase by giving the VM less resources rather than more. Interesting experiment. But it's because of the way that the vSphere scheduler works. So an absolute maximum is set to 25. Best practice really is 4 to 8. To give you an example, those the new backup servers that we deployed in the Veeam Lab, we started them out with 4 CPUs, because that's what our deployment guide says. And I'm seeing, now starting to see latency on those VMs. So what are we going to do? I'm going to turn them back. And the latency will go away, and the VMs will be faster. It's cool. Less resource. Awesome. Less resource. So best practice is kind of somewhere in that 4 to 8 range. Memory pressure I've spoken about as well. I mean, vSphere does do a good job of things like transparent page sharing. The thing is that the block size for transparent page sharing is 2 meg. So actually, for example, Microsoft-based workloads, you don't get massive amounts of advantage from that. But, you know, with memory pressure, again, it's a boil-up of some of those memory metrics. And it can be a good indication of swapping, so it's a good one to keep an eye on. Disk pressure, again, I spoke about that, but remember, VM starts to use their allocation, it can, you know, fill quickly, it can kill data stores. The other thing to bear in mind with thin provisioning with VMware environments and why that's kind of important is you'll think, right, I'll thin provision it, and I'll sort of, you know, I can memory effectively gets thin provisioned, and I'll trim down the CPUs, just like Charles said in the session, and I'll throw more VMs on a single data store. So associated with a single host. I can do that now. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, it is. But the other part that you need to think about is IOPS actually only underlying storage. So the more VMs, even though you're using thin provisioning and all that cool capability, the more VMs you have against that single block of storage, the higher the IOPS you have against that block of storage. So it's kind of balancing that, really. Figure that out. Let me just show you a couple of wee things here. I just want to use a quick sort of example, basically. Okay, doc. So, you know, we're looking at the sort of CPU overcommitment and all that sort of stuff. So I just want to nip into SCOM reporting, which is right here. And I want to introduce a report that we've included, which is called the Right Sizing for VMs report. So remember how I was talking about too many CPUs is a kind of a bad thing? So if I run this report, let's have a wee look and see what happens. So I'm just going to go ahead and run this. Now, I could run this against all my virtual machines, or I've actually created some dynamic groups to manage this, but I'll just do this over, again, I'll just pick over the last week. I'll do RAM and CPU. Show me my top 25. We'll go ahead and run that. So the way that we work this algorithm out is not sort of based on a best practice or anything like that. We actually look at what the VMs were doing over that reporting period. So it's based on historical performance information. We'll look at any peaks and troughs, and then we'll put a little 25% buffer on top of that so we don't freak out your payroll application when it goes haywire, you know, at the end of every week. And then we'll make the recommendation based on that. So for example, looking at my environment here, you can see that I can reclaim about 24 gigs of RAM. Now, when I consider all the memory pressure stuff that I was talking about, that's kind of a lot of RAM. I mean, that might represent a whole bunch of new VMs that I could provision into these hosts or into these clusters that I couldn't before. So I want to understand that. Again, with CPUs,
I can figure out what I want to clean back here. So for example, you know, here's my the top VM in the list here. You know, the CPU usage for that is only 2.33%, right? That's the most it's ever used. My goodness. And it's got four vCPUs, right? So I can easily reclaim vCPUs and allocate them to different VMs. So I can trim back that vCPU utilization and see a performance increase for that virtual machine. Now, just while I'm in here, if I want to make those kind of changes, so for example, there's the change for DS Linux 05. Now, if I come up and take a wee look at this guy.
Would you take those as definitive changes, or would you actually substitute 4 to 3 and dropping it down one, or would you go 4 to 2 and then actually allow it to run off there to see whether you actually had another request
part of it? I mean, it's really down to your preference. But here's what will happen. You'll drop it from 4 to 2. You'll run the report next time, and it'll ask you to, it'll sort of recommend you drop it from 2 to 1.
So it is fairly definitive.
Yeah, yeah. Now, whether or not you take the advice is kind of down to you, right? One of the cool things about the report is you can see that we've got the wee plus signs in there. So if I find, you know, here it is for RAM, for example. So you can see it's saying, hey, I can save a bit of RAM as well there for that particular virtual machine. So we do sort of trend that out as well. So over the course of that week, you know, if there was something, I mean, you can see the RAM allocation changed here. Now, I actually gave this VM more RAM just so I had something cool to show you in the demo, right? It was all flat lines. But you can see that there's the average utilization is right down here. Holy crap, what's it doing? It's just sitting there. And then there's the recommended up there. So you can see that actually the recommended, we're giving it a good bit of overhead. But if there was something that was a spike kind of in the middle, then I could identify that and then say, okay, you know what, I'm just going to leave that because that payroll application does its number crunching once a month and it needs it, you know, or I'd go in and configure these here to give it the right resource at the right time. That's the whole point of virtualization, right?
So just kind of while I'm in here, you know, how might I make those changes? If I was going to drop that down to, you know, like 100 megs of RAM actually is what we're recommending here. These are just small VMs. Let me just sort of roll into this demo here, which is using Orchestrator.
So System Center Orchestrator includes object integration packs, which are kind of like management packs for automation, essentially. And there's a VMware vSphere automation pack, OIP, available. And this isn't a Veeam thing. This is community-led.
But I can use that to configure changes against a virtual machine. So for example, you can see here I've built a little integration pack. And what this one does is it asks me for the name of the VM and the values that I want to change. Now, I don't want to change that VM in the middle of the day, right? And suddenly the VM reboots, has a new RAM and CPU allocation, and then pops back up again. What I want to do is have that scheduled. So we have scheduling checks and balances built in to Orchestrator to help with that. So in this particular example, what's happening is that I'm looking for the schedule, checking to see whether it's allowed. So is it sort of in business hours or outside of business hours? And I've actually configured looping so that what it will do is say, okay, I'm gonna make a change. Is it after 6 p.m.? No. Okay, I'm gonna wait for half an hour. Is it after 6 p.m.? No. Okay, I'm gonna wait for half an hour. Now you can build that into a sort of scheduled task. I just did the looping thing, it was easy, right? And then, you know, eventually it will say, is it after 6 p.m.? Yes, woo! Okay, now I can go through the run boot and I can make all those configuration changes to those virtual machines. So let me just run through it sort of quick. I'm sort of conscious of time, so let me just do this as a very quick demo. So I'm not going to schedule that. I'm not going to ask you to sit here till 6 p.m. Where was the awe? No. Aw. Yeah, everyone's kind of looking for caffeine. So here, for example, I've got just a sample run book here. Again, same sort of thing. Of course, I can't change the RAM and CPU allocation on a virtual machine unless it's powered off. So what's happening here is that I'm saying, hey, Mr. Virtual Machine, are you powered off? No? Okay, cool. In that case, I'm just going to go ahead and reconfigure you. Hey, Mr. Virtual Machine, are you powered on? Okay, and then stop the VM and then reconfigure it. Now, all of this is just built using drag and drop. None of this involves coding. None of this involves PowerShell. Honestly, guys, I'm just far too lazy to get involved in any of that crap, right? So if I can't drag, drop, and type a couple of things in, I'm not interested. I'm still able to create interesting wee workflows like this. So if, for example, I can subscribe to data. So here I have a field VM path, and I can just subscribe to that from an earlier field. So let me just give you a quick example here. So I can go through, I'll run this actually inside the orchestration console. I'll tell you what I'll do. Here's my vSphere web client, right? Now there's the virtual machine that we saw in the report, sort of is right to be changed. So you can see that it's powered on. You can see that it's got four CPUs that it's not using. You can see that it's got configured with 768 mega RAM, and we saw in the right sizing report that it's using like a tiny sliver of that. It doesn't need all of that. I can free that RAM up. I can free those CPUs up and use them for, I don't know, my plans for global domination. So how do I do it? Well, this is the System Center Orchestrator to run the console thing, the orchestration console. It's web-based. So I can run this from anywhere. So I just pick the runbook that I'm interested in, which is my, oh, let me just make sure it's checked in. Yes, it is. Cool, actually, let's stop that here. Cool. So I just check the runbook that I'm interested in. So in this case, I can see the various runbooks. So I want to do the change of VRAM and CPU for that particular virtual machine. So I just start it. Boom, go. So what it's asking me for here is the path to the virtual machine. Now, if I was clever, I'd have made this a nice sort of drop-down box. But I did this in about 10 minutes, so I'm just going to have to type it in. So here's where I forget the name of the path to the virtual machine. I think it's in there. And the name was DS Linux 05, I think it was. I want to set the number of vCPUs. So I'll tell you what, I'll be safe, right? Just as the gentleman here suggested, maybe you don't want to drop it down to one. I'll drop it down to two. And the amount of RAM in megs, I'd want to make that 128 because I really don't need that VM to have 768 megs of RAM. I specify the available runbook servers. And if I've typed everything in here correctly, there's a pretty slim chance I've done that, then this should be running. So I can just have a look here and see the details for what that runbook is actually doing. So there's the sort of workflow. One of the cool things that I've done, hey, you can see that failed already. One of the cool things that I've done as well is I've actually configured this workflow to drop an alert into System Center Ops Manager once I'm done. So Orchestrator goes off and makes the changes and then tells Ops Manager about it. So I still get that sort of single view through the sort of NOC desk. So there it goes, off it goes. So what we should be
seeing.
Was it VM?
I think it was 04, not 04.
Or was it 04? Okay. I do have a 05, so I'm hopeful that it's still going to change. It's going to do something, right? That was 05 there. Now, what did I configure it to be there? Let's see. Yeah, there we go. Always the way, log in due to incorrect name or password. What have I done? Okay, but the idea there, I'll run through that in the runbook tester actually. I was hoping to put all of that in the web console, but maybe not. Let me see if I can do it in here. It's my kind of final, my coup de grace. Provide the right values, click next, and then we'll see if that works. Okay, authentication issues, always the way. Apologies, guys, but what that should do, what we should be seeing there, is the VM, because it's powered on, being shut down, the change being made to RAM and to CPU, and then the VM being powered back on automatically, and an alert being delivered into System Center. Now this very demo, I actually do have on my YouTube channel. So if you want to see it working, I'm gonna get some more hits at least like Let me just wrap things up very quickly.
So the last sort of 2 points I just want to touch on are about using forecasting, training and modelling, and then knowledge is power. So, I mean, clearly capacity planning for a virtual environment, VMware environment, Hyper-V environment is absolutely critical. So we've spoken about the pressure matrix, the difference between my dreams and reality. So those can actually be a good indication as to whether or not, you know, how many more things I can, how many more such camels I can squeeze through the eye of the needle, essentially. Alert training is actually a really good one to look for as well. So we have pre-built reports against the VMware environment that we call the trouble report. So we have top troubles and top troublemakers. So it's great, it's interesting to be able to run that report against your VMware environment and say, you know, where are the problems? Show me the hotspots. Now we can see those, of course, with the health state and the maps that we had a wee look at earlier on. But I can actually see those represented in terms of the number of alerts that have been generated by each object. And so that is an easy way to build my runbook for what I have to go and fix tomorrow, right? So an interesting report. I'm actually going to skip over this demo, guys, just for time. And the fifth thing I think you've got to know, and this is kind of a key thing, is that knowledge is power. So, as I said right at the start, I'm a sort of SCOM guy from old. You know, that's kind of my background, really. So with the VMware stuff, you know, probably like many of you, it's kind of relatively new. It's only been a couple of years, 3-4 years, really. I've sort of really been getting my teeth into the VMware environment. One of the things that's really helped me do that is the fact that the stuff that, you know, that management pack, the VMware management pack, pops into SCOM, has a rich knowledge base behind it. So when I've been out at customer sites, sort of helping them do stuff, and helping them configure stuff, and do their VMware monitoring, I can sound like a genius just by reading the stuff that has been presented to me inside the knowledge base. Now it's kind of important because what I want to be able to do is try and fix as much stuff as I can without having to send it back to our VMware admin guys who are based in St. Petersburg, right, in Russia. So the more that I can fix kind of frontline, level one, the better. And so again, having a knowledge base that offers me that guidance is really important. So it helps me lower my mean time to resolution and allows me to sort of proactively manage. From an automated management perspective, tools like Orchestrator hooked in the System Center really help with that as well. Again, guys, I showed the automation demo. If you want to see this working, I don't know what the authentication issue is. If you want me to do it live, please come down to the Veeam booth. I think we've got time for like one or two questions. Any one question? I will be down at the booth hanging around, the Veeam booth. The one with the 3D printer. So if you can't be bothered standing in the queue to get your Surface RT, just come down and win the Veeam printer. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, just a couple of related content things. I mentioned a couple of times our backup software for our focus this week clearly is on Hyper-V. And we do have a breakout session that one of my team, Luke Miller, is going to be running in the sponsor theater, the blue one, downstairs at 3 o'clock tomorrow. We are doing live demos down at the booth. We do have certification exams if anyone's interested in that. And actually, I think they changed that. That actually said find me later at the bar, and they changed that. Either or, I'll be in one of those two places. But thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.